Let's go to Hebrews 13:8. I want to talk to you today about miracles. I want to talk to you about miracles. Hebrews 13:8. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's three people in here who are going to go into a life change. You're going into a life change for the better. Things are going to happen for you. You're going to pick up speed in the things of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hebrews 13:8. All right, you there to read it with me?
Yes.
Let's read it together. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's read it again. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus the Messiah is the same as he was 2,000 years ago today. The same person. There is a man in the Godhead. Woo! Isn't that good? It's a man in the Godhead. And he is still doing the same things that he's always done. Amen? So, he's the same Jesus that we see in the Gospels. He's still doing miracles. Amen. And so he started at the wedding of Cana. And we begin to see miracles. I know people said, well, maybe he healed little birds when he was young. Well, no, he didn't. His first miracle, according to the Bible.
Yes. Okay.
Well, we're going to have to decide what we believe. According to the Bible, the first miracle was at Cana, and he turned water to wine. And then the word said this. It said he did so many wonderful miracles that they couldn't put them all in the book. It was too many things that he did. He did so many wonderful things. So it couldn't all be written. The Bible is a miracle book. It's a record of all these divine happenings. All these things are true. The things that happened to Moses, the things that happened to Jacob, the things that happened, I mean, we can name off everybody, Abraham, all those miracles with the prophets, they're real. They're real. The one town that was in famine when Israel was locked up behind the walls, it really changed in a day. I said a nation really changed in a day. In the word, a nation changed in a day. Yeah. Now, the people in the Bible, they receive miracles in their in response to their, I want to use these words, daring and active faith. Daring. Daring faith. Daring. Daring, Jordan. Daring and active faith. Lizzie, daring and active faith. Okay? They receive miracles in response to their faith. Now, Jesus hasn't changed and humans haven't changed. Everybody still flocks to the place of miracles today, to this very day in other countries, here, they flock to miracles because Christianity is a miracle lifestyle. And it began in miracles. It's based in succession of miracles, and it's propagated by miracles. That's what Christianity is. It's the only way that we can actually satisfy this longing of men and women, everything in our lives. If we don't have supernatural in Christianity, then we're just nothing but a religion. We're just a religion if we don't have the supernatural. Religion is formality, ritual, and ceremony. That's what religion is. But Christianity is life. Christianity is the heart and the nature of Jesus manifested and expressed through human persons. That's what Christianity is. We're doing these things because of him. Not just for him, because of him.
Yeah.
He's in our lives. He's alive.
Yeah.
And church, humanity has, we all yearn for a living God. Everybody wants a living God. Everybody wants miracles. Everybody wants to believe in angels. Amen. Praise the Lord. We crave the miracles. And you know, when someone arises and their prayers are answered and people will start to flock around them and come see them more than any statesman or orator or philosopher, they'll come see the miracles first. This has been happening for centuries. Oh, did you hear there's miracles over there? I can remember, hearing this. Of course, I don't know that I was even born yet, but, preachers would get on the radio and they would say, Oral Roberts is coming to town with his tent. Do not go out to that meeting. Yeah. Don't go out to Oral Roberts' meeting. So everybody went.
Yeah.
Because miracles were happening. They're on film. I've watched the film.
Yeah.
Miracles happened. Have you watched A.A. Allen?
Yeah.
And the miracles that happened. And Brother Schembach and Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland and all the miracles. I mean, we watched a lady crawl up on the stage, crawl up on a curtain, and ended up walking out in stilettos. The next day, the next week or something. She got up. I mean, we've seen miracle after miracle. You've seen miracles. You've seen miracles in your own home. You've seen things change and you went, man, that was a miracle. That couldn't have happened. You've seen miracles in your finances. If you hadn't, you're going to. Amen. So this is something that everyone's looking for. And listen, a miracle is not a mark of ignorance. It reveals our intense desire for a relationship with this unseen God. We want to be close to Him. So when miracles happen, we're like, wow, this is awesome. And the fact is that from the beginning, God's purpose and plan for humanity was to remove them from serving dead gods to serving a living God. He's saying, look, I'm alive. This is what I do. If you'll let me, I'll get involved in your life, and I'm full of miracles. Those other things are just dead. They won't do anything for you. This is the God we serve, and this has always been His intent to bring us into the supernatural. Now, rationalists will say that education has taken the place of miracles, that the church no longer needs a supernatural. We'll just get smarter. And in fact, we see some of that in some of the universities today, that even some chaplain says that, well, we don't need God. We're so smart. We just need us. Sounds like the Tower of Babel, doesn't it? You know, but, which is real. But, we know that we need supernatural. It never eliminates the yearning for miracles in people. It never does. People still want miracles. We were created with aspiration for supernatural authority. We were. We feel it. We sense it. And listen, one miracle is worth 1,000 theoretical schoolings. It's true. And I want to say this to you, church. Nations have never been rescued from their sins, from their reproaches, by some philosophical or ecclesiastical indoctrination. It isn't so. It doesn't happen. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. God the Father is alive. He's real. This is not some little thing, a book of rules. This is a God who wants to know you and love you and be in your life and talk to you and listen to you and do things with you and through you because of you. This is our God that we serve, and He is a God of miracles. Amen. It's seated in all humanity. That's why people like superheroes. Did you hear what Kelly said? She said, I like Marvel. Those are superheroes, right? Okay, so, we started with Superman, and then we got Batman, and y'all got all these other people as we grew into it. But, I mean, didn't we love Superman? Faster than a speeding bullet. I mean, we wanted that. We wanted to see that strength. We wanted to see that power. We wanted to see someone come in and throw evil over. And to this day, we love John Wayne because he was always overthrowing evil.
That's right.
He'd say, "That'll be the day." Well, this is who our God is. He's super on natural. But guess what? He put super on natural on you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. People want miracles today. Just like they always did. People need miracles today.
Yes.
John 2:23 says, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles he did." They saw the miracles. They went, this is the Messiah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just doing miracles. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk about just for a minute the foundation of miracles. What is the foundation of miracles? This is real easy for us. The foundation of miracles is found in Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. This is the foundation right here. And listen, let me say this to you. If that's true, then faith may leave by hearing and hearing the unbelieving theologian. Yeah, and unbelief may come by philosophical traditionalists. Church, listen, we could call for a fast all week. We're going to fast all week and bring no miracles. We can have nights of prayer, arrange them all, get it all going. And if it's not focused on Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, we will have no miracles. It has to be based on Jesus. The truth is, the spiritual awakening will, this is really important. The spiritual awakening will have to be in the speakers, the leaders, the teachers, and the message must be brought right, or all else is empty. Just let that stew around in you. The leaders of the ecclesia, the church of the living God, are going to have to start speaking and preaching the truth. If you're a messenger, and you all are, all of you are messengers, then you're going to have to be willing to conform your thinking, your ministry, your preaching, your actions to biblical principles of redemptive truth. We're not hiding Holy Spirit in the back room. I'm not trying to preach a sermon that's going to tickle your ears. I want to deliver something to your spirit that will cause your life to change and cause you to help other people.
Yes.
This is where we have to go. I'm talking about pastors and leaders and all of you, all of us. We have to go there. And so if we don't, then there will be no spiritual renewal. The awakening is going to happen because there are enough of us. But it could take a little longer if it doesn't trickle down into leaders in the churches. We can't protect our pulpit by softening the gospel. I'm not going to be the person that you come to and say, "Why didn't you tell me?" I will not. And if I'm not understanding something right, I'm going to stand up and tell you that I was wrong about it, and this is what God is saying.
Yeah.
And I'm in good company. Yeah. I watch our leaders do that all the time. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, so faith comes by hearing the word of God, not by teaching the philosophical and outdated religious traditions. Listen to what Jesus told the Pharisees. Mark 7:13. I like this. Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things do. Let me read you God's word version. Because of your traditions, you have destroyed the authority of God's word. And you do many other things like that. So can I submit this to you? There's actually something stronger than the Word of God in many people's lives. And it is tradition. Tradition. Well, I've been going to this church over here for 35 years. It's my tradition. Well, what's the Lord calling you to do? Well, it's my grandmother taught it this way, and so we just go ahead and believe what grandma said. Tradition. Well, we've always done it this way. We've always believed it was this way. Well, did you read it for yourself? You know the old ham story. Where the granddaughter cut the ends of the ham off and put them in the oven and asked her mama, why did we cut the ends of the ham, each side of the ham off? I don't know. Grandma did it, so I did it. So they went and asked grandma, why'd you cut the end of the ham off? Well, my stove was too small to fit the whole ham in there. That's the same crazy stuff that goes on today. People are into all these traditions that produce nothing because they're not willing to step out of the boat and walk on the water. They're not willing to go across the Red Sea when obviously it's opening for you. They're not willing to change what they're doing because of tradition. Because, well, we've just always done it that. We're not changing the message. Sometimes we change the method. But we need to get back to the message because a lot of people are watering it down because they want to get more people in their church. I'd rather have 100 people on the meat and the Word of God that are telling the truth than 5,000 people that are going in and out because they want to come get a cup of coffee. Not that I'm against a cup of coffee. Kim does a great job with her team, and I love it that we do that, but that's just a sideline. Thank you, Jesus. This is how the awakening is going to happen. Now, the pastors and the leaders, once again, I'm going to say it one more time. They're going to have to surrender their ideas, their methods, their teachings, and traditions that are not biblical. Okay? If someone doesn't receive new spiritual understanding, their enthusiasm is going to be suppressed. So we cannot teach traditional religious concepts. Amen. Silly stuff. We got to preach the word. If you want to reap the fruit of faith, you're going to have to sow the seeds of faith. Amen. The sick will be healed. Unbelievers will turn to Christ. Non-Christians will be converted when the gospel is, in its simplicity, is communicated. Wait a minute. What'd you just say? Did you just say that? I think you just said unbelievers will turn to Christ and non-Christians will be converted. Aren't they the same? No. No, they're not the same. We know there are believers. We know that there are unbelieving believers. And we know that there are believing believers. Some believe in Jesus. But they don't believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and ever. They think the Bible is just history. But I'm telling you, the Bible is today. And Jesus is the same today. And miracles are the same today. The only reason why we haven't seen them in America is because we're so spoiled. Mm-hmm. And have all these things. Even though we know the enemy did it, maybe it's been pretty good to have a little shaking. And like I said, the enemy did it. Right. Now, I'm going to say something to you. If you get in trouble or trouble happens to you, that could help people run to Jesus. But that should not be the choice that you want. You know, well, if I get in trouble, I'll just go to Jesus. No. Just come to Jesus now. Because he's the deliverer anyway. Because he's so good. So you don't have to get in trouble. If you do, he'll take you. You can come running to the throne of grace. So it's not my choice of coming to Jesus is to get in trouble, so I'll do it. But people do, and that's why they come. However they're going to do it, I'm going to tell you this. God's just trying to get people in. He didn't make it hard. He didn't make it. What about these people who just received Jesus on their deathbed? Do they really make it? Yes.
Yeah.
They sure do.
Yeah, I believe
they absolutely make it. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
The Bible didn't say do 30 works after you get saved and you might get in. The Bible said if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's exactly what we believe. And if it's on the deathbed, fine. Now, when you get to heaven, you're going to start in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're going to grow in heaven.
Right.
Praise the Lord. That's when all traditions will be broken. Praise the Lord. So I tell you that the unbelievers are going to turn to the anointing. You hear, unbelievers are going to turn to Christ. They're going to go, you know what? In this awakening, there is an anointing. There is a realm of glory. There is a heavenly presence. There is a personal God who wants to be face to face with me. You know that song that Jesse sings so beautiful? Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. You know, it's a scripture. Well, Jacob wrestled with God. And he named the place Peniel. Remember that? He named the place Peniel. It means face of God. And what we see is, now when he did that, his name went from Jacob to Israel. Okay? So then we see Moses later. And what does God tell Moses? Tell them, this is what we're going to say over them. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. This is what God has always wanted, is to be face to face with you. This is what I like to say. He wants to face you.
Yes.
You know what a face is? It's when you get up next to your baby and you put their face right here. Cheek to cheek. God wants to face you. Praise the Lord. He loves you like that, church. All right. So, some believe in Jesus, but a lot of people don't believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the Bible is for today. This is what John 8:32 says. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Here's Psalm 107:20. This is my meditation this week. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. See, God's word is his voice speaking to you individually. So I take that personally. The Bible's my friend. It's God talking to me. He's saying, Roxanne, I sent my word and healed you. I sent my word and I delivered you. Now, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and then the Word was manifested in the flesh. Jesus is the Word. And what did Jesus do as the Word? He healed the sick, he raised the dead, and he did miracles. And he taught and preached. So now that Jesus has ascended to heaven and we have the Holy Spirit, that Word is alive when it comes off the page, and it heals the sick and raises the dead. If you're praying for someone and you don't know what to pray, pick up the Bible and quote the Bible over them.
Yeah.
You'll get a miracle.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. This is Proverbs 4:22. It says, to meditate on the word of God because they are life when you find them and they are health, health to your flesh. Amen. So we need to accept these promises and embrace them personally. We need to personally. God healed me. Jesus healed me. He paid the price. Like God's having a private conversation with you. This is what I did for you. Believe the promises, church. Ponder them in your mind. Speak them with your lips. Act on them with simple childlike faith. And God will fulfill them in your life. Like a miracle. So that's the foundation for your faith. Now, let's talk about ministry of miracles, because this is our next step. All of us are doing this. Not just the preachers. The church of the living God. The supreme task of the church is of the evangelism of the world. That was Christ's commission. That's what he told us to do. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. Amen. So now here's the thing about us. Most of us know how to get healed by faith. which is created in your heart by meditating on biblical truths, right? We know that. But when you get out there, you're going to discover that any member of any church knows Paul's thorn in the flesh, Job's boils, and Timothy's sore stomach. That's what they're going to know. They know that chastisement and the idea of suffering for God and giving him glory in sickness. Anywhere out there, there's a lot of people that believe that. Now, we know that that's all misinterpretation. They were taught it. They bought it. Now, this is hardcore, but I have to tell you, it's the easy way to not have to take blame for faith failure. It's the easy way. Well, God must have done it. He gets blamed for all kinds of stuff that he didn't do. The Bible says he came to give life and life abundant. It says that the enemy, the devil, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give life and life more abundant. God didn't do it. He's not doing the earthquakes. He's not doing the hurricanes. He's not doing the tornadoes. He's doing the deliverance.
Yes, he is.
Yet people will get sick. And they, by mental assent, they try to get well. And when they can't get well, they just blame it. Well, God's probably teaching me a lesson. Now, we all know that isn't true, but you're going to face people that actually believe that stuff because they haven't dug enough into the scriptures. And so, you know, they didn't finish reading. They just listened to some orator say that Paul had a thorn in his flesh and then it was his eyes. No, if you read the scripture, it says that it was a messenger of Satan.
Yeah.
It wasn't from God. It was a message. It's written there. He was a messenger of Satan. And then when you read through the scripture, you see someone with the spirit taunting Paul when he tried to preach. And when Paul, and remember, God would say, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. What's he doing? He's telling Paul to use grace. He's saying, go ahead, do something about it. He's not going, you need to keep it. You need to have a limp. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you can get rid of this, this messenger. But people take that and get it all tangled up. Why? Because they don't want to admit they've had a life failure. But when are we going to grow up enough to go ahead and say, I didn't do it?
Yeah.
I was just mental ascending. I wasn't really working the word. I drifted off. I put up with it. When are we just going to just do that and just be honest and then work the word?
Yes.
Church, I'm drawing the line. We cannot change the word to suit us. We change to suit the word. And when we drift off, we need to go, wait a minute. No. What did the word say? Job, it clearly says that Satan put the boils on Job. How did he break through the hedge? The Bible says what Job feared came upon him.
Yeah.
It's not a talk between God and Job saying, okay, I'm going to let you in here and you can mess with Job and he'll still love me. You're not reading deep enough into true translations. What he said was, I don't lie for anybody. He's already in your territory. He fears. That's what it really said. But he came through that. But people just gloss over it and let someone tell them that. You don't have to believe me. You should go dig deep enough and read it and find out what really, really happened. And it'll make a whole lot more sense to you. God's not chastising you with sickness. And nothing, there's nothing that backs up all these things in the scripture. Nothing at all. But the truth is that you're going to run into a whole lot of people who mix these things with the truth.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he might heal. He might heal me and he might not. No. Healing always comes.
Always.
Well, why didn't I get it? Because you didn't receive it.
There you go. That is good.
Let's go ahead and take the blame.
Yeah.
See, people haven't been taught the covenant of healing. If they have been, then we see that, you know, if you'd really, really get it, you're going to see the believer has authority over Satan. You're going to see that the believer has authority over diseases. You're going to see that, how we have this assurance that if we ask anything in His name, He'll do it for us. You're going to start seeing these things when you start believing these things. You're going to really believe. Now, how many of you actually believe that Satan, that Jesus defeated Satan on the cross when He died and resurrected?
Yeah.
Of course He did. Satan is already defeated. He's already defeated. We need to enforce that and believe that. Woo, some healing's coming today. Thank you, Lord. So this is what we have to do. Jesus was teaching and preaching and healing. We have to teach and preach and heal. And you know, it's not what they know. It's not what you, what they need. It's what they'll receive. It's not what you know. It's not what they'll receive. It's what you, sorry, I quoted that wrong at first. So you do watch as the Holy Spirit leads you. But I remember Billy Brim's story. I'm going to take the time to tell it because I'm almost done. Where the little man, they thought going to the movies was a sin. Miss Tifa Teller's son. And so he promised God he'd never go to the movies. And so he was a rodeoer. And so he did go to the movies. And then he was riding a bull or a horse or something. And he fell off and broke both arms. So he comes in two casts to Miss Billy Brim's Sunday school class. And he says, well, God punished me for going to the movies. Now, see, right now y'all are going, no, that's crazy. And so what did Miss Billy say? Miss Billy said, no, 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 son. This is Satan. This is Satan, and he's gathering up a payment here because you said it. He's saying, okay, he said it, so I'm the devil is a legalist. That's why we do what's right, do it right, because it's right. Because of him. God loves you. You can make a mistake, and he'll be right there with you. But you see that? So we need to be like Miss Brim and just say, no, honey. Let's read the Bible and see what the Bible says.
Right.
The Bible says the thief, he's stealing.
Right.
He's killing. He's destroying. God didn't send that to you.
No.
Amen. This is what we're going to have to do as people out on the street trying to help other people. Now, one more thing as we're going to close. This is Matthew 24:3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? So they want to know about the end times. You want to know about the end times?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus told you about them here. It says, and what will the sign be of your coming at the end of the age? Now, between verse 3 and verse 24, which I will now read, Jesus lined up all these things that would happen at the end of the age. But this is what he said. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. The gospel has not been preached to all the nations. That's what this great awakening is going to be. America must rise up. America must go through this awakening. And then America will reach the world. Yeah. And we are the ecclesia here in America. We will rise up. We will preach the gospel. We will, but we're not just going to preach, do you want to know Jesus? We're going to preach in power and preach and heal and perform miracles. And the other nations will flock to that. T.L. Osborne would have huge services in Africa. In fact, South Africa, I believe he was some of the time. I'll correct that if I'm wrong, but I believe he was in South Africa. They never laid hands on anyone. Thousands and thousands of people would come, and he would preach what I've just been preaching to you right now. He would just preach that, and people would start getting healed. And then what would they do? They would have people start coming up and testifying that they got healed. And what would happen? Multitudes of people would get healed. Multitudes of people would get saved. That's the way they did it. That's the way they did it. They testified, and then other people got healed. And things were miraculous. There were people with no eyes that were healed. There were all sorts of things. I don't have time to name them all. That's what you're going to see. That's what you're going to behold. You may gather up 10 people in the parking lot of HEB. and miracles can break out.
Yeah.
Or you may be someone who fills a stadium. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So this is the sign of the end, that the gospel is going to be preached all in the world. The good news of the, now the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. So that's going to be the rule, the reign, and the realm.
Yes.
Okay? So what is the rule? The law of love.
Yes.
The law of love. And then the realm will be heaven on earth. Mm. And then kingdom authority. You using your authority.
Yes.
In the name.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You might start with opening jars. There's power in the name of Jesus to open a jar.
Yes.
The Lord showed me that. Sometimes one of my little stoppers in my bathtub gets stuck, and it's hard to turn. And I was like, man, I got to get the water out of there. So I'm reaching down in there to do it. And I was like, okay. John took my wrench away. He didn't think it's nice looking in the bathroom. So I don't know what he did with it, but anyway, love John. So I said, okay, I don't have anything here, so I've got to do this. So I just said, you know what? In the name. And that thing went boop, and opened. Same way that tire got back on that tractor.
Yep.
And I was remembering that this morning during praise and worship when you were singing the song, that all the chains would break. And the Lord said, those two things, that simple, that's as easy as it is to see chains break off of people. That's what he told me this morning. So y'all may think I'm silly with my little stuff, but I'm not. The Lord's trying to show me. If you can believe for some socks, you can believe for a debt-free house. You can keep going. You can move. Just start believing God. Just start believing God. He's like, well, those relatives I have don't look like they're ever going to get saved. It don't look like their lives are ever going to change. Just start with the, just start. Just start. The word of the Lord came before we left the house today. And the word of the Lord was that there are people who are going to have to, who they're going to have to cross many bridges.
Yes.
There are many bridges, but there'll be a light at every bridge and they'll begin to come across with ease.
Yes.
And he said, you are the lights. You are the lights. And he said this, it's not just that you're the light when you just get with someone and talk with someone. He said, when you pray, you'll open up a light for someone that you're not even in their presence.
Yeah.
And I told Deb, I said, how significant is that? Because I remembered after that, that our Christmas theme is the light of the world.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are the lights. And you can just remember, words bring light.
Yes,
they do. Amen. All right, so this is how Jesus said to do it. This is Mark 16:15. He said to them, go ye to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth shall not shall be damned. So there really is a hell according to Jesus. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall cast out devils.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spirit of infirmity or whatever, depression,
yes.
Whatever,
mm-hmm.
Paralysis,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Convulsions, whatever goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, spirit of poverty,
suicide,
you're calling them out.
Yep.
Fear, rejection,
mm-hmm.
Insecurity. Abandonment. Then you are some good preachers.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is. Whatever it is. That's what he said to do. I mean, we got to quit thinking that that's some hocus pocus. It's just as simple as in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out in Jesus' name. You leave this person alone. I send you to a dry place. Get out.
Yes.
It's that easy. Any satanic squatter around us can be removed.
That's right.
They're just lying to you and trying to influence you.
Mm-hmm.
But are we going to cut this part out?
No.
No, because most of people's infirmities have to do with spirits because they keep them for so long, talk about them for so long, nurse them for so long, work on the symptoms for so long that spirits help out with that. I know this is tough, but it's true. We have to get down to the nitty-gritty now. Okay, so cast out demons and they'll speak with new tongues. Oh, that's in there too. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing. So if you eat something wrong or accidentally drink something wrong, or you take some kind of medicine that doesn't do you well, you'll be all right. You're going to be all right. Now, we're not a snake handling church. That's talking about taking up spiritual things. You take up spiritual things. We're not talk. People misuse that. And I go, ah. Y'all know how I feel about serpents. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. And they'll lay hands on the sick and what? They'll recover. Now, red words rule. Jesus said that you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, what if they don't? What if they don't? Well, listen. People have wills. And some people choose to go on to heaven. Some people refuse to be healed. And I've known some of them. They're going to hang on to it. Some people get rid of something and they miss it so much they'll take it back. But that's not your problem. You just do your part. And I'm telling you, these days in this power, it's going to knock some people down. They're not going to want to take it back. You know what I mean by that. In the right way. They're going to sense their freedom. Amen. So, then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following them. Amen. Now, lastly, did you notice that the word them is in italics? And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says they went forth and preached every, italics means it's added by the translator. They thought it helped it. It does not help it at all here. It does not help it. It says the Lord working with and confirming the word. The Lord working with and confirming the word. Take that, mark that them out. Now, you have the right to do that. You need to go back and search context. But in this case, it was definitely added. And so confirming the word through signs and wonders. So the Spirit of God's going to confirm the word. Going to confirm the word. So the Lord, Holy Spirit, works with the word. So if you're going to go out and pray for people and you're going to minister to people, you need word. You need it in your spirit. You need food. If you're going to run a race, you're going to have some protein and some food. Well, what do you need, Jesse, when you're exercising? What's the protein?
Yep, protein, clean carbs.
Clean carbs.
Yep.
Okay, clean carbs. Oreos. No, wait a minute. You know, I've mentioned Oreos several times. Someone in here must love them. You do? I like them too. Okay, so, but you need some good fuel in your spirit. So when you get good fuel in your spirit, the Lord will work with that word and confirm it with a miracle. In other words, you're empowered. Just like your car runs on clean gas. You don't put the pink cheap stuff in it. You gotta put clean stuff in there so that your car will run properly. Your spirit runs properly if you feed it true word. And then when you lay hands on the sick, they're gonna recover unless they just totally resist it. And I'm telling you, there's more people that'll receive it than won't.
Yes.
They'll get healed in Jesus' name.